A mistake that allowed the South Texas church shooter to get his hands on guns. It failed to enter Devin Kelly's 2012 domestic violence conviction into a national database that would have prevented him from purchasing firearms. This is USA Radio News.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America, working with happiness expert Sean Acor. Research shows there is a strong connection between traveling and happiness. So how can you experience the maximum amount of joy when traveling this holiday season? Sean Acor, happiness expert.
The busier the season, the more important great travel becomes because it gives us a way to disconnect from our routines and reconnect with loved ones. This holiday season, break the stress routine and go somewhere new and exciting. Explore a new town's holiday events or start your New Year's resolutions a month early by knocking something off your family's bucket list. Joy is so important to your family. Let nothing get in the way like booking a trip. A joyous family vacation starts with making things simple, like booking with a rewards credit card. With a Bank AmeriCard Travel Rewards credit card, you can earn 1.5 points per dollar spent anywhere, anytime. So you can earn points no matter where you go. That means the points I earn on this trip, I can use for more travel with my family in the future. And that makes me happy.
For more information, visit bankofamerica.com/travelconnected.
A new report claiming that disgraced Hollywood mogul Harvey Weinstein had an army of spies working for him. The report published today in the New Yorker magazine says Weinstein went to great lengths to keep his accusers quiet and to suppress stories about his alleged serial abuse of actresses and other women. Weinstein reportedly had his lawyers hire private investigative firms that often would intimidate accusers from coming forward. A law firm that hired the private eyes now says it made an error in judgment. It's Election Day, and voters in two states are choosing governors, including in Virginia, where the Republican candidate for governor, Ed Gillespie, a former GOP National Committee chairman, says he looks forward to having a good relationship with President Trump if he's elected.
Any governor of Virginia has to work with the president of the United States. The fact is, 20 cents of every dollar in our economy in Virginia is a direct federal dollar.
His Democratic opponent, Ralph Northam's a big critic of President Trump. This is USA Radio News.
Colonel Sanders from KFC here to talk about the good old days. Well, the good old days are still here in chicken form. Specifically, in KFC's original recipe fried chicken with 11 herbs and spices. Our delicious chicken is still hand-breaded and pressure-fried just like it was then. Get your fill with two pieces of my original recipe in a $5 fill-up with mashed potatoes, a biscuit, a cookie, and a drink at a KFC near you. KFC, it's still finger-licking good. At participating KFCs, prices may vary. Tax extra.
We told you moments ago about the Virginia governor's race today. There's also a governor's race in New Jersey on this Tuesday election day. And there are mayoral elections in Miami, Atlanta, and also in New York City, where we find Michael Bauer.
Mayor Bill de Blasio sums up the New York City election day 2017.
This is the day you have to decide.
His honor is looking for a grassroots progressive effort.
It means we have to be more deeply connected to the grassroots. We need a clear progressive message and a message about changing people's economic reality.
And Republican contender Nicole Malliotakis explains why a vote for her highlights what voters are tired of.
Corruption, of pay-to-play, of mismanagement, of deteriorating quality of life, of a homeless crisis, of broken subways, or if they want to take our city in a different direction.
The mayor is planning on an election night party at the Brooklyn Museum, while Malliotakis will gather with supporters at the William Vail Hotel in Brooklyn.
Republican leaders now hoping to bring their big tax bill to the floor of the U.S. House next week. That according to House Speaker Paul Ryan, who this morning predicted sweeping tax cuts will stimulate the economy and help the middle class. That's despite Democrats' arguments that the measure will primarily benefit the wealthy. And saying it's ironed out early supply chain problems, Apple says it's ready to meet off-the-chart demand for the new iPhone X, though new orders placed in the U.S. still won't ship for several more weeks. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Huntington Chamber Radio, WHCR DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@huntington-chamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! We'll be discussing a great book on the Vietnam War today. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you for joining us. Joining me at the 50-caliber microphone today is co-host Air Force vet Josh Lang. What's going on, Josh?
Well, welcome to November, Military Families Month. November is also the month when the Veterans Administration will begin allowing veterans to sign up for the new Veterans ID card. A note about that I learned from my wonderful visit to the VA this past week, and that is, you cannot get the new Veterans ID card from a VA medical facility. The only place where you can get the new Veterans ID card is online. And while November 1st is already passed and the VA has not yet debuted the online sign-up page or website, I'll cut them some slack. They said sign-ups would begin in November, so they still have about 4 weeks left to debut the new sign-up process.
Thanks, Josh. Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby looks, well, serious. We'll hear from him as he shares warrant wisdom. And Marine Vet Skip Coriel is here looking happy. You got a deer, didn't you, dude?
I've got a couple of deer, Colonel. The battle for Bambi Straits, it's almost over.
You know, like in a football game, you got to stay into the fourth quarter or you don't win, right?
That's right.
But if you do, you win.
Well, you know, I've got two more deer to kill. So four to fill the freezer, two down, two to go. I'm halfway there. This is halftime for me.
Batting 500, planning to go for 1,000. Here's what we have for you today. A news and comment by the Colonel. I'm going to discuss the end of the ISIS control of turf in the Middle East. Doug Stanton has written three awesome books on combat. We're going to discuss his latest amazing book on the Vietnam War. And Major Scott Husing will share about the Save the Brave Foundation. Then we're going to look at another excellent book entitled The Desert Storm Air War with Jim Corrigan. Of course, we'll discuss last weekend's Service Academy football and a bit more.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Now it's time for news and comment by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. First, the news. Lead out, Josh.
The saga of the Taliban's capture of U.S. Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl has finally come to an end. On Friday, a military judge ruled that Bergdahl, who was facing charges of desertion and misbehavior before the enemy, would be dishonorably discharged, but not be sent to prison. The sentencing phase of this case was arguably the most emotional, for those who were sent to look for Bergdahl, some of whom sustained injuries, and for Bergdahl himself, who stated the outcome was never his intent. And intent is critical in determining guilt of a defendant in a courtroom. Throughout this ordeal, Bo Bergdahl steadfastly claimed his intent in leaving his base was to make it to another nearby base where he could report issues from his assigned base that he had serious disagreements with. Lacking intent to commit desertion and endanger his fellow troops really was Bo Bergdahl's get-out-of-jail-free card. Agree or disagree with the outcome, you let us know your thoughts by contacting us through frontlinesoffreedom.com. A highly decorated Kirtland Air Force Base colonel who refused to sign a certificate of appreciation for a retiring master sergeant's same-sex spouse says he was wrongly disciplined for following his religious beliefs. Colonel Leland Bohannon was relieved of command, and a letter was sent recommending against his promotion after an equal opportunity complaint against him was substantiated. A religious liberties group is now demanding the reversal of the decision. In May, Colonel Bohannon, then the commander of the Air Force Inspection Agency at Kirtland Air Force Base, was asked to sign certificates for a retiring master sergeant, including a Certificate of Spouse Appreciation, according to an appeal letter. The certificate is one traditionally given to the spouses of retiring military members. It is not legally required to be given and is not an official document. Further, there is no official guidance on these documents. Bohannon did not sign the certificate for the sergeant's same-sex spouse as it conflicted with his religious beliefs. According to the letter, Bohannon consulted others on the base and his command chaplain suggested he file a religious accommodation request that would excuse him from signing the certificate. That request was returned without action 6 weeks later. Instead, an off-base superior officer signed the certificate. The master sergeant subsequently filed an equal opportunity complaint, alleging Bohannon unlawfully discriminated against him due to his sexual orientation by not signing the certificate himself. The complaint was substantiated, and Bohannon was removed from command, and a letter was sent to the Brigadier General Promotion Board recommending Bohannon not receive a promotion. Attorney Mike Berry of First Liberty Institute, who is representing Bohannon, said that the colonel has since been transferred to Washington, D.C.
It's clear that in our nation and in our military, we absolutely must respect everyone's rights, except those of Christians, of course, Christians who want to live by the traditional values of our nation and of their Christian faith. Relieved because he didn't sign an unofficial form for a valid reason? This is bad news for our military. I hope things get turned around.
Major General Roger Cloutier, an infantryman and Iraq veteran, will lead the investigation into the October 4th ambush in Niger that killed four U.S. soldiers, wounded two others, and also killed five Nigerian troops. Cloutier, the chief of staff for U.S. Africa Command, will take over the fact-finding investigation into the firefight in western Niger. The FBI is also looking into implications for national security of the ambush that killed Sergeant LaDavid Johnson, Staff Sergeant Brian Black, Staff Sergeant Jeremiah Johnson, and Staff Sergeant Dustin Wright. The four were part of a 12-man team from our 3rd Special Forces Group that joined a patrol with 30 Nigerian troops. During the firefight, Sergeant Johnson became separated from the rest of the group. His body was not recovered until 2 days later. General Joseph Dunford said at a news conference that once the results are in, his top priority will be to share the findings with the families of the fallen. Dunford said, quote, "That's my primary target audience right now. We'll address it fully," end quote, "in public once the families are informed." Under their rules of engagement, the 12 U.S. soldiers on the patrol were authorized to accompany Nigerian forces when the prospects for enemy contact was unlikely.
The combat deaths of these fine soldiers is a horrible loss, but all troops, especially those in special forces, know the risk. I'm glad they're looking into this, but I don't think they'll find anything improper. War in general and war against terrorists is always very confusing.
Our Navy and Japanese forces joined up late last month to save an Iranian fishing boat that was reportedly attacked by pirates off Yemen. The Navy received a call for help from the Iranian Coast Guard, who reported the pirate attack and requested assistance for the boat. NAVSENT coordinated with the European Union Naval Force, which investigated the fishing vessel via a patrol aircraft. The destroyer Howard and the Japanese destroyer JS Amagiri, currently attached to Combined Task Force 151, went to investigate and help. According to the release, a Navy boarding team from the Howard provided medical aid to three civilian mariners, provided food and water to the boat crew, and made repairs to the vessel. The aid effort came near the end of a year that has seen rising tensions and hostility in the region, with Iran Revolutionary Guard Corps boats harassing Navy ships on multiple occasions. This mission demonstrates positive international collaboration in spite of recent incidents of aggression.
I'm glad that we provided that aid. The Iranian people are not evil, even if their dictatorial government is. We need to provide help to people in need when we can. Good job, Navy. And that's the news. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel, and then we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk with Doug Stanton about Easy Company 1st Battalion 501st Infantry in the Vietnam War. Eddie's troops, take a break.
Being there matters. And your United States Navy protects and defends America on the world's oceans. Around the globe, around the clock, Navy ships, submarines, aircraft, and most importantly, tens of thousands of America's finest young men and women are ready to defend America when piracy threatens global commerce, when disaster strikes, or when called upon by the Commander-in-Chief. Your Navy is there. When it comes to protecting and defending America, being there matters. And America's Navy is already there.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players. You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Correll with your home defense tip of the week. One item you should keep in your bedroom at all times is a military-grade high-lumen flashlight. I've raised four teenagers, and I've learned that just because someone's sneaking in your window at 2 a.m. doesn't mean you want to shoot them. That bright flashlight will immediately blind the invader and readily identify whether they are friend or foe. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit HomeDefenseShow.com.
This is a special alert to consumers who owe back taxes to the IRS.
Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle tax problems. An open phone line has been established by National Tax Relief. Grab a pen or put this number in your cell phone, but call 1-800-210-0311 today. That's 1-800-210-0311. When you call, you'll get information and see if you qualify. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and can't afford to pay them back, there's no need to fear anymore. You may qualify for a program that could settle your tax problems and save you money. For free information and to see if you qualify, call National Tax Relief today at 1-800-210-0311. That's 1-800-210-0311. 1-800-210-0311.
Join us for a fun-filled evening at the Hunterdon County Crime Stoppers annual fundraiser, Thursday, November 16th, 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at Lone Eagle Brewing, 44 Stangle Road, Flemington. Craft beer tasting, great food, door prizes, live music, and a 50-50 raffle. Tickets are $50 each, and sponsorship advertising opportunities are available. Please visit www.crimestoppershunterdon.com or call 908-437-0126. We'll have a barrel of fun.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. A Front Lines of Freedom salute to one of our show's sponsors, Honor and Remember. Our nation must never forget those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. This is the mission of Honor and Remember, a nonprofit based in Virginia, with support from their national sponsor, Spartan Nash, the leading distributor to U.S. commissaries and fifth largest food distributor. Learn more about how you continue the mission at honorandremember.org. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. Last month, the Islamic State lost its capital of Raqqa, and with it, the terrorist group's long-held dreams of establishing a Middle Eastern caliphate. ISIS has horrified global audiences with videos of awful atrocities. Hey, what kind of humans could behead, burn down, drown, torture, and blow up innocent civilians or prisoners, mock and record such horror, and then narrate their sick videos for a world audience? How could such a pre-modern psychopath ever be defeated, given that ISIS had quickly overrun and dominated vast parts of Iraq and Syria? The joy that ISIS members displayed as they celebrated the unthinkable added to its reputation of invincibility. Young wannabe jihadists from all over the place flocked to their Middle East camps and cities, eager to hurt and kill people, as if it was the latest video game. This sounds sick, but that's exactly what happened for years. The area's poorly led and untrained armies had no answer for this. Most of the world's leaders either ignored or denied the group's homicidal appeal. You might remember that in 2014, analysts were predicting that ISIS might soon own enough oil-rich parts of Iraq and Syria to spread its control throughout the entire region. But recently, all of the ISIS turf began disappearing almost as quickly as it was born. Guess what? Enemy positions, even ISIS ones, can be blown away by bombers. Why previous administrations and their military brass never did that is, well, nuts. And our bombers were not deterred by ISIS threats that they'd wipe out their command centers. Defense Secretary Mattis simply relaxed the rules of engagement and virtually declared an open season on ISIS terrorists, while our military was training entirely new cadres of anti-ISIS fighters. Specialized drones and GPS-guided Western munitions made it almost impossible for ISIS leaders to escape constant attack. And what goes round comes round. Thousands of Iraqi and Syrian victims volunteered to fight ISIS with a ferocity they'd rarely shown in the past. All this led to mass ISIS surrenders. Half-starved ISIS jihadists in rags and tears begged their captors for forgiveness. They sought mercy they'd never shown. It must have been tough on the poor terrorist egos. Well, ISIS is far from dead. As I've discussed before, ISIS is very active in Europe and online here in the United States, recruiting and sharing terrorist information, like how to build a bomb or run a truck into a crowd. Sound familiar? But their control of territory is, at least for the present, ancient history. Remember that, throughout history, those who posed as superhuman savages with limitless cruelty were often bullies who couldn't survive when the tables were turned and their former victims had the upper hand. After 9/11, al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden frightened the Westerners with his strong talk of radical Islam, for whose brutality and cruelty a supposedly weak and decadent West had no solution. But after years of our nation and our allies whittling at al-Qaeda from Afghanistan to Iraq and bombing its ringleaders wherever they appeared, bin Laden was killed by our special operators while hiding in Pakistan. In the early 1940s, the most feared killers and terrorists in the world were Nazi Heinrich Himmler's SS. The SS claimed they were the new racial supermen, overseeing extermination camps and spearheading the German army by executing prisoners and civilians alike. But by May 1945, with Berlin in ruins and Hitler dead, those killers were trying to hide their SS tattoos. Like Himmler, most SS troops were cowardly, fearing what their victims might do to them. Before and during World War II, Japanese militarists slaughtered millions of civilians in China and butchered and raped their way through the Pacific. They boasted they would never surrender, yet after we pushed them out of their positions in the Pacific and bombed Japan to ruins, even their most hardcore fanatics meekly gave up. Problem: civilization and peace becomes complacent. It understandably hopes that growing terror on the horizon will burn out on its own, as it does sometimes. During periods of relative peace, prosperous and more liberal nations certainly do not want to send their youth across the world to fight those who claim they would enjoy nothing more than dying while trying to kill those more successful and better off. But the true strength in arms is usually civilizational, not tribal. A modern state that lives by the rule of law and the consent of the governed and is energized by a free market and a free people can be a deadly force when finally provoked to rage. The same is true of innocent victims initially overwhelmed by tribal killers like those of the SS or ISIS. ISIS may have been able to invent ever more sickening ways of dismembering innocent victims, but it could not make a fighter plane or win the lasting allegiance and loyalty of the majority of Iraqis and Syrians. And so, like the soulless killing machines of the past, at least in the Mideast, ISIS is now being killed off. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom, and now we get some warrant wisdom from Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
Saving lives is nothing new to Sergeant First Class Alicia Hoffman. As an Army Reserve medic, she saved lives while deployed to Afghanistan in support of Operation Enduring Freedom. As a civilian registered nurse, she has cared for patients and saved many lives in medical surgical nursing, oncology, cardiology, and psychiatry. But on 4 October 2014, her life-saving skills were tested by fire, literally, earning her the coveted Soldier's Medal. At the time, Hoffman was a staff sergeant and assigned as a senior medic to the 303rd Military Police Company in Jackson, Michigan. That Saturday morning, as the Ohio native was driving on the interstate to her Army Reserve battle assembly, she passed under a bridge and was stunned to see fire coming from an automobile that had struck the guardrail. Even though she felt scared, she kept her wits about her and decided to park her car far ahead of the burning vehicle. You see, she didn't want to take a chance that her car would catch on fire from the accident. She quickly assessed the scene, and her Army medical and civilian nursing training immediately kicked in. She dialed 911 on her cell phone, described the incident to the dispatcher, and then leaving her phone on, put it in her pocket. Hoffman then cautiously ran towards the man stuck in the driver's seat of the burning car. She observed he was in and out of consciousness and estimated he was about 300 pounds. Realizing that she could not physically extract him by herself, she waved down another driver. As luck would have it, an Army National Guard soldier with the 507th Forward Support Company, Specialist Bryant Williams, was also driving to his battle assembly that morning. Together, they quickly pulled the man out, and soon after, police officers and firefighters arrived. Unsurprisingly, Williams and Hoffman were late to their morning formation. Hoffman said the strong odor of smoke and bloodstains on her uniform were convincing enough for her chain of command. Instead of administering a negative counseling for tardiness, they praised Hoffman for her selfless actions. To honor her bravery and heroism, her chain of command ensured she would be recognized for her actions. So on 20 September 2017, Hoffman was awarded the Soldier's Medal. Because of her quick thinking and composure, she saved a man's life. That guy was lucky that Sergeant First Class Hoffman was there that day. The medical, fire, and law enforcement authorities said that if it had not been for her heroic actions and putting her own life in danger, that man would have died. She believes that if it had not been for her Army medical training, she would not have reacted the way that she did. As we say in the Coast Guard, Bravo Zulu, Sergeant First Class Hoffman. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss Doug Stanton's great new book on the Vietnam War, The Odyssey of Echo Company. Then Major Scott Husing will share about the Save the Brave Foundation. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You are standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. 50 of them, then stand at ease. On Veterans Day, visit any of Spartan Nash's 159 grocery stores in 10 states, and all veterans and active duty service members will receive 11% off all regular priced items. To find a store near you, visit SpartanNash.com.
As the leading distributor to U.S. commissaries and exchanges in the world, Spartan Nash is committed to supporting our military heroes, and this November 11th, we want to show our gratitude.
Thank you for your service.
Exercise is hard. So is maintaining a healthy diet. Of course, neither is half as hard as dying.
Type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and stroke kill nearly a million people a year. But most of these deaths are preventable with regular activity, a healthier diet, and not smoking. Talk to your doctor about your risk for type 2 diabetes and heart disease. You can stop it starting right now. Get moving. Visit checkupamerica.org or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association.
We have laws in the books that says if you're a domestic abuser, you're not supposed to own a gun. He was a domestic abuser. That's why we got all these questions with the Air Force right now, which is how did this get slipped through the cracks?
House Speaker Paul Ryan at a Capitol Hill briefing today demanding to know how the Texas shooter got his hands on firearms. During the Capitol Hill briefing today, the Speaker of the House also said we should not focus on new laws, but enforcing the existing laws currently on the books.
How about enforcing the laws we got on the books? This man should not have gotten a gun.
As many voters in Virginia and New Jersey head to the polls today, the race seems to be tightening up in Virginia. Republican Ed Gillespie makes one more pitch as to why, if you're in Virginia, you should vote for him.
Virginians going to the polls today, they know that I'm the candidate who has a plan to get our economy growing again. You know, our economic growth rate here in Virginia is 0.6%. We're 39th out of 50 states in economic growth.
Polls in Virginia do show that race within the margin of error. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root, otherwise known as War. You hear my national radio show, War Now, the Wayne Allyn Root Show, every day on USA Radio Network at 6 p.m. Eastern, as well as my national TV show, War Now, on Newsmax TV every day at 8 p.m. Eastern time. But I'm everywhere leading the conservative fight on Fox News, on hundreds of radio shows as a guest, writing books like Angry White Male, my newspaper columns, even on CNN. I'm a conservative warrior fighting for conservatism, capitalism, American exceptionalism, and Judeo-Christian values. And of course, I will always be the fiercest defender in the media for my great President Donald J. Trump. But it all starts at my website, RootForAmerica.com. You'll find the hottest stories, news headlines, my passionate, in-your-face, take-no-prisoners, conservative commentaries, and popular videos. The left will win this war over my cold, dead body. So every day, start your day with the news and opinions that matter to conservatives and patriots at my site, RootForAmerica.com, or listen to my radio show at USAradio.com, or watch my TV show at NewsmaxTV.com. Above all, be sure to root for America.
This is Chamber President Chris Phelan inviting you to the 29th Annual Business and Home Expo with our restaurant showcase. This wonderful event will happen on Thursday, November 9th at our new location, Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington from 2 to 7 p.m. If you're a business or organization and would like to participate, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at 100inchamber.org.
Troops, welcome back to the nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. The team of the Eisenhower Center and After the Impact really help our troops who suffer from traumatic brain injury. They also help professional athletes and first responders. These are great people. Learn more at eisenhowercenter.com. Now it's time to meet a gent who is one of my very favorite authors. Doug Stanton has written three books on war. They're factual, not fiction. His second book, Horse Soldiers, is one of the few books in the world that I've read three times. His current book about E Company, 1st Battalion, 501st Infantry in Vietnam is amazing. So, welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Doug.
Thank you, Denny. It's great to be here.
Doug, you're not a veteran, but you certainly understand us. Tell us about your background that led you to your three amazing books on war.
So I grew up in the Midwest. My dad was in the Army. My uncles were in World War II, and I became a writer. So Vietnam takes place when I'm too young to really understand it, but I do like people. And so I set off to write a book about World War II called In Harm's Way, and that set me on the path of really writing these stories. I think of them as survival stories. I think of them as stories about people making hard decisions at really hard moments. And I'm really curious just how we're more like each other than dissimilar, because I think the veteran story in general is one that needs to keep being told.
You know, I can't disagree with that. And certainly you stumbled into something that you, one, enjoy and two, are good at. You know, I was a Mideast war planner for 4 years. And while I was retired for 20 years by the time of 9/11 and our response, I knew a lot about the area. And your book, Horse Soldiers, was so good, so accurate. that I felt like I was with those guys. Talk about that book for a few minutes.
Sure. So after 9/11, by October 19th, 12 U.S. Special Forces soldiers have infiltrated to Afghanistan to link up with various tribes and fight the Taliban. And they succeed. What took 2 years took about 8 weeks. And so by January of 2002, Taliban command and control is crushed. In Afghanistan, they've scattered into Pakistan. So it's a story really of men being adaptive, thinking on their feet, and it's a completely new take on what we think of as a military mission. If you don't know about the SF guys, they're really special. It is interesting we're talking right now because this whole story will become a movie with Chris Hemsworth and Michael Shannon in January with Jerry Bruckheimer producing. So you have a group of men in the U.S. Army who've never gotten any press for not to become, I think, more well-known to the public, and it's pretty satisfying.
It is, and you hit the nail on the head. They were confronted with situations they couldn't have never imagined before going in. Indeed, most of those 12 didn't know how to ride horses, and they end up having to ride horses, little horses, in combat. The details you bring out are just phenomenal.
That's a big battle book. You know, I went to Afghanistan twice. I interviewed Afghan soldiers and Air Force combat controllers and SF people and everybody. I mean, and it took a long time to write that book. I thought, here's a story that really comes out of World War II because the SF guys are the children, essentially, of the OSS that's disbanded. They continue on in the U.S. Army. And it's really also another foray into counterinsurgency in America's history. And it linked to Vietnam because when I'm researching horse soldiers in 2005, the old soldier I meet at the back of the Chinook helicopter, Stanley Parker, he'd read my World War II book In Harm's Way, and he said, "Would you write about Vietnam?" And I thought, well, Stanley, it's 2005. We're in the middle of Afghanistan. I don't know if America's ready to really hear that story. But he was still in the Army, believe it or not, Command Sergeant Major. And over a period of time, it's 2017 now, I did write the book, but it took a long while.
Well, I would guess that it would. You know, I've written a couple of books, but they were not anywhere near researched like you had to do. And I would think you've got to think through and bounce things off and redo things. But whatever it is, it sure worked for me. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing author Doug Stanton's books on war. We're about to discuss his latest book on the Vietnam War, The Odyssey of Echo Company. Doug, I know Echo Company. A year before the 101st Airborne Division deployed to Vietnam, I became the company commander of Company C, 2nd Battalion, 501st Infantry. The 1st Battalion, 501st, was our sister battalion. I knew most of their officers and senior sergeants. We fought in the same area, especially during the Tet 68 battles. I was likely within 10 miles of the 1st of the 501st all the time. And while we were, my company, my battalion, were in a lot of intense battles, I never experienced quite what Echo Company went through. Indeed, I didn't even know about it until I read your book. But, you know, given your accuracy is without question in these areas, because everything I could possibly check, I can totally verify. I learned so much about that book from about some of the people that I know. Tell us about how you wrote that book, the research, and how you got into Echo Company.
Well, I think the thing about Vietnam is it's America's unfinished narrative. It really is. We can talk about World War II or the Civil War all day long quite easily. But when Stan Parker approaches me in the Chinook helicopter in Afghanistan, to be honest, I didn't know where I might begin that story about Vietnam. And it really begins for me by writing a book about people. People such as yourself, like I said with the World War II book, young men trying to make hard decisions and then how those decisions affect them and change, you know, the course of American history. So it's a book about emotions. And how do you do that? Well, we gathered, in particular, the reconnaissance platoon of E Company together, as many guys as Stan could find, because this had been on his mind for a long time. I want to point out, he was a command sergeant major in Somalia, other parts of Africa, Panama. He had lived through all kinds of adventures in American military experience, but Vietnam was the one circle he could not square. He's a professional soldier. And so I thought, let's sit down and tell me your story. How did I approach it? Just by listening, Denny. You know, I mean, I think what I've discovered with the Vietnam generation is they don't necessarily want you to either accept, they certainly don't want you to reject them, but what they want is acknowledgement. I don't know if you agree, but to be heard. You know, Stan Parker's at a gas station 18 years after he comes home from Vietnam, and a guy buys him gas because he sees his Vietnam cap on. Stan is floored. It's the first time in 18 years that anyone's even said the word Vietnam to him.
You're right on track, dude. Keep going.
It's a shame. Why should a whole generation, why should America be carrying this secret around? The war is over. So let's separate the soldier and the war, because I met a gentleman in Raleigh, North Carolina recently, and he's a Fortune 500 executive, and he said, you know, I learned early in my career in the boardroom not to say the word Vietnam. It's not because he did something criminal in Vietnam. It's just simply he could not be associated with it. I wasn't aware of the depth of America's allergy to really engaging with this story. I mean, let me back up. We have spent a lot of time talking about how we felt about the war, politically, militarily, socially. But in this book, The Odyssey of Echo Company, I wanted to ask these guys how the war made them feel. It's a very different question. I kind of flipped the telescope a bit. And so, because this guy, Stan Parker, and he's your uncle, he's your brother, he's the grandpa at the family reunion that we know that was in Vietnam but never says anything. And silence is a killer. And if you can't tell your story, it's not your story. So it's kind of simple. I just set out to tell a story I hope you would slide across the kitchen table, say, hey, Uncle Chip, were you there? And walk away, and maybe it will maybe the community that you live in will be bound closer together by the act of this storytelling. That's my hope. It's an important one.
You know, that makes a great deal of sense, and I think you have caught it. And I'm not sure I could have used those words and said it as clearly as you did about what we feel like. The one thing when I talk about my generation of Vietnam vets is that we work pretty hard to make sure the current generation of vets is not treated like we were. That's a legacy that we have. But you're right. What we did, who we did it for, when we did it, how we did it, is still just out there hanging. You know, there's more to discuss about Echo Company, and Doug is going to stay with us. So this is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. It's fall, troops. Go out on your lawn or into your basement and do 103 push-ups. Hey, that's how many I do every day. Then do 20 more sit-ups and take a break, but stay in the area. Doug and I will be right back.
Mike Hewitt here with a minute of common sense. Tell me something. Would you not defend your home, your family, your children? Who in their right mind would leave their front door open when they know their family is under a heightened threat? Not me. So why would we not vet who is coming into our country, our neighborhoods, our schools, and our workplaces? When will we have had enough and set aside political correctness in favor of common sense? Vetting visitors isn't racist, it's reasonable. Common sense doesn't care who an immigrant is or where that immigrant is from, if we can confirm that immigrant's history. And if we can't, common sense demands that immigrant be banned until we can. Some will say we're not at war, but those that seek to murder our sons and daughters don't recognize such political correctness. Common sense demands enough already. Vet immigrants to our shores or ban them from entry. For more common sense, visit themikehewittshow.com.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
Hunterton Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterton Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterton Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.huntertonhealthcare.org.
Advancing Hunterton is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterton County's businesses. Advancing Hunterton engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterton-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterton, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterton.
This is Colonel Denny Gill, and this is the final formation for this hour on Front Lines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Doug Stanton about his amazing book, The Odyssey of Echo Company. Echo Company, 1st Battalion, 501st Infantry, 101st Airborne Division, was my sister battalion in the 2nd Brigade of the 101st Airborne. I served with the 2nd Battalion of the 501st. We trained and deployed to Vietnam together, and we fought in the same part of Vietnam. So let me tell you, this book by Doug Stanton is accurate and very well written, and he touches some points that I guess needed touching, and I didn't even realize it till I talked to him today. Doug, continue your story on this book.
Where do you begin? I think let's begin at the end by talking about the ending of this book. I don't want to give too much away, but it's called The Odyssey of Echo Company because we follow Stan Parker all the way from his boyhood and members of his platoon, too, into Vietnam and then home again through his adult life and career as an iron worker and then back into the Army. But then I go back to Vietnam with Stan. He wants to go. We're in the Tokyo airport. Says, wow, I'm having second thoughts about this. I don't know if I can go through with this. Not because he hated the Vietnamese, but his whole experience, and so many of the guys I talked to, was so fraught with a sense of chaos. The combat helicopter assault, you know, as you know, sowed really this sense of what happened. You know, in one day I might be in three different LZs in a firefight, and then I'm back at base, and you do that 300 days in a row, 24 hours a day. That hallucinatory sense of the experience is embedded in your consciousness. And then when you come home, you realize no one wants to talk about it. And you pretty much learn that you shouldn't say anything yourself. So going back to Vietnam was a way to kind of anchor that experience. And we stood on the rice paddy where Stan got shot the first time. And he actually met the guy that was in the firefight with him. And they became... I don't know if it, in a matter of a couple hours, they were hugging. And the book ends with a smile. So I'm sitting there watching this happen. It's completely unplanned. I don't know how this book's going to end because this story hasn't ended yet, really, for America. But as Stan Parker and Mr. Sin began to talk about the battle, because they were both kind of checking each other out, it was clear they both had been there. Stan... rocket had blown up Mr. Sin's command headquarters. He's part of the Viet Cong. Mr. Sin had been blown out of the building. And they talked, and Mr. Sin said, "We were once enemies, but now we are brothers." And he meant it. Just pick the smallest town near you, and the place we were in was even smaller. It's like the middle of nowhere. And I thought, if these two guys can do this, where does that leave the rest of America? You know, if the two guys who are trying to fight each other have somehow come to some resolution, doesn't mean they're at peace or they are lifelong friends, but they've moved on in a way. We need to do the same thing and take our cues from that moment. So the book is one long arc towards that meeting between these two guys.
Now, when these guys came home, as you've already said, they couldn't talk about it. Sometimes they were abused. Do you see your book helping that change?
Yeah, actually, Denny, I wanted to call the book Coming Home. I really did. For me, the entire experience, what I realized quickly as a writer that I could do is both dramatize the homecoming a lot of veterans had, and also, by going back to Vietnam with Stan, describe the one that he had later as an older adult, which was to go back to Vietnam. As he said to me, I've had a better homecoming here by facing the past than I ever had in America. So, in fact, the last part of the book is called Homecoming. It's really important to me that the book be a bridge between the Vietnam experience and this chasm we have today, kind of socially, and the memories and the experience that a lot of veterans are carrying around with them today, that it somehow tries to spark between those two experiences. And so the book is really about coming home.
And that is what everybody wants to do from Vietnam, and frankly, from any war. Who doesn't want to come home? I really, really appreciate it. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing the awesome book, The Odyssey of Echo Company, with the author Doug Stanton. Doug, the coming home thing was really interesting, and I never had any negative experience, but I stayed on active duty, and I'm 6'3", 250-pound airborne ranger, and I know how to look at you and say, come on if you want to, and therefore neither I nor any soldiers around me in airports or wherever ever had any problems. But I sure know from stories of other people that I was atypical. And then I went to an Army post, and again, the welcoming was there was because I was around my peers. But the guys who had to go home, they had a whole different experience.
They did. But like, you know, it's funny. My friend Tim Keenan wrote a book, and he's a veteran. He was hitchhiking home. He got picked up by a family and took him to dinner. So Tim's experience was very positive. Stan Parker's and other members of the platoon, not so much. And for instance, when Stan is traveling back by commercial airline, the person next to him actually asked to be moved from her seat so that she doesn't have to sit next to Stan Parker on the airline. And suddenly realizes, coming from the field, coming from combat just 48 hours earlier, he realizes that something different has happened in America, and he's now viewed very strangely. And it's heartbreaking because you're right. Earlier you said the legacy of Vietnam is we don't treat these soldiers today that way, both men and women. And that's actually a wonderful thing. But how do you come home? You come home by telling the story. I really believe that. I believe that books and storytelling are an antidote to silence. And so that's really why I wrote the book. You try to give voice to this, both the terror of the experience and the joy of it, too, the joy of having survived, the joy of the brotherhood. It really opened my eyes. I learned some things. I learned to shut up, really, and just listen, which is really important for a writer to do.
It's important for anybody if you want to learn anything. That's absolutely true. Troops, we're going to be giving away a copy of Echo Company at the end of this show, but you can buy one. Doug, how can listeners get a copy? I presume Amazon and all the major book distributors?
That's true, and just about every other independent bookstore in America, too. I've been traveling around talking about it.
Well, it is really a book you want to read. Doug, thank you for taking time to join us today, and thank you for your service to our nation's soldiers, particularly Vietnam vets, by writing so accurately and well about their experience and welcoming us home. Thank you, brother.
My pleasure, Denny. We'll talk again. Thanks.
Now it's time for our Stand Tall Troop Report. This is when we find an outstanding performance of duty, and we're privileged to honor this fine troop. Paul Wirtz, a retired NASA astronaut who commanded the first flight of the Space Shuttle Challenger and also piloted the Skylab in the early 1970s, died late last month. He was 85. Wirtz died in his retirement home in Flagstaff, Arizona, said Laura Cutchins of the Astronaut Scholarship Foundation. No cause of death was given. A NASA biography says Wirtz was among the class of 19 astronauts who were chosen in April 1966. He served as a command module pilot on the first crew of the orbiting space laboratory known as Skylab during a 28-day mission in 1973. Wirtz also commanded the first launch of the shuttle Challenger in April 1983. The five-day mission took off from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida and landed at Edwards Air Force Base in California. The Challenger was destroyed and seven crew members were killed during the 10th launch in January of 1986. All in all, he logged 793 hours in space and retired as the deputy director of the Johnson Space Center in May of 94. Wirtz was born in Erie, Pennsylvania, graduated from Penn State University with a degree in aeronautical engineering in 1954. He then joined the Navy, serving on a destroyer, before being chosen for flight training and earning his wings as a naval aviator in 1956. He served in various naval squadrons, including service in Vietnam, before joining the Astronaut Corps. According to the Astronaut Scholarship Foundation, Wirtz returned to the Navy after his mission on the Skylab mission and retired as a captain in July of 76 after serving 22 years. He then came out of retirement to rejoin NASA. Quote, Paul Wirtz's name will always be synonymous with the Space Shuttle Challenger, but he also will be remembered for defying the laws of gravity and age, said Curtis Brown, board chairman of the Astronaut Scholarship Foundation and an astronaut and veteran of six space flights. Before it became commonplace to come out of retirement, Paul was a pioneer. So stand tall in heaven, astronaut Paul Wirtz. Front Lines of Freedom and all of our nation's patriots salute you. This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with retired Marine Major Scott Husing about the Save the Brave Foundation. Then author Jim Corrigan will join us to discuss the Desert Storm Air War. Naturally, we'll cover last week's Service Academy football games. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America Report. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Troops go outside and run some wind sprints. Then grab some protein and rehydrate with water. Finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.
This report is brought to you by Sears. Fall is here, and that means it's the perfect time to get your home ready for the colder months as well as for the holidays. Just like you maintain your car, you need to maintain your home appliances and systems. As the nation's number one provider of appliance services, Sears Home Services suggests routine maintenance to help make sure your appliances run smoothly. Chip Wade, celebrity home designer and expert craftsman.
Help avoid breakdowns during the busy holiday season by maintaining your appliances properly. Clean your refrigerator's condenser coils twice a year, as dirty coils can lead to expensive repairs and cause the fridge to run inefficiently. As the weather gets colder, the last thing you want is for your heating system to conk out. Avoid this issue by inspecting the air filters in your furnace monthly during the fall and winter, and replace it if it's dirty.
Purchase needed maintenance parts via SearsPartsDirect.com. Or, if you prefer, do it for me, visit searshomeservices.com/fall. There, you can schedule home services and learn about seasonal offerings. To learn more, visit searshomeservices.com/fall.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
We have laws in the books that says if you're a domestic abuser, you're not supposed to own a gun. He was a domestic abuser. That's why we got all these questions with the Air Force right now, which is how did this get slipped through the cracks?
House Speaker Paul Ryan at a Capitol Hill briefing today demanding to know how the Texas shooter got his hands on firearms. During the Capitol Hill briefing today, the Speaker of the House also said we should not focus on new laws, but enforcing the existing laws currently on the books.
How about enforcing the laws we got on the books? This man should not have gotten a gun.
As many voters in Virginia and New Jersey head to the polls today, the race seems to be tightening up in Virginia. Republican Ed Gillespie makes one more pitch as to why, if you're in Virginia, you should vote for him.
Virginians going to the polls today, they know that I'm the candidate who has a plan to get our economy growing again. You know, our economic growth rate here in Virginia is 0.6%. We're 39th out of 50 states in economic growth.
Polls in Virginia do show that race within the margin of error. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Hi, my name is Kip Herridge, and I'm the founder of the Vertical Research Advisory, or VRA. I've been in the investment business for 32 years, managing money for the Wall Street elite and raising hundreds of millions for their companies. In 2003, I created the VRA, my investment and economic newsletter that's been crushing the market for 14 years. We're not a brokerage firm. I tell you what stocks to buy using my proprietary VRA investing system, and then I tell you exactly when to sell and take profits. My system tracks the smart money, using a combination of fundamental and technical analysis, and only target stocks that have the ability to rise by 50% or more. For the first time, we're offering